Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, this is Great Inferno. Welcome to my show. It's 7 o'clock here in Wisconsin. It's Tuesday, February 24th. Today's segment, we are going to talk about a lot of stuff, all right, with our special guest. Hopefully he's able to call in, Kerry Weston. And Kerry Weston is from Bangor born and raised, graduated from Bangor High School in 1990, and received a bachelor's degree in business management from University of Maine in 1994. And we are going to talk about, I don't know, a lot of stuff today. But I want to just spend more time on this stimulus package that, you know, President Obama just signed. And because there's, you know, a lot of misinformation and a lot of talking and a lot of I don't know, it's just like, you know, a lot of negative comments towards this, you know, bailout, as you call it. But as you know that, you know, recently he held a conference of mayors, you know, the leaders of the U.S., and he had, what do you call it, you know, he had a conference with them, with the mayors in the U.S. And now he said that Barack Obama said that that his administration is requiring unprecedented responsibility and accountability. And that's what he's saying. If, you know, there's a big question here, though. That's what I want to, you know, talk about. And with the other news, well, the first thing I do right now is, like, you know, I go onto my Facebook and I look, and who is actually, well, who's birthday today? Oh, today is Stephanie Geary. Today's birthday is Stephanie Geary. Happy birthday to you. And on Thursday is Jessica Ziegel and Laura Lynn. So let's congratulate them and give them a birthday wish if you guys know them. My listeners here in Wisconsin, you probably do. Yes, you do. Now, let's get into the topic, and I believe I have a caller here. And, you know what? Let's get a birthday song real quick here. Hold on a second. Ha-ha, here we go again. There you go. Okay, that was getting pretty. I need, you know, if you guys want to call 347-884-8125, you're probably, you know, having a hard time calling in right now, but keep trying. And if you know any, like, birthday song or birthday jingle that you want to, you know, shoot me an email, alphasandfrankponiente@gmail.com. You know, I can play it for you. So I'll get this, you know, I'll have a new birthday jingle thing in the background here. This is getting annoying. But let me get Don here. Don's on the line. Go ahead, Don.
Hi.
Hello. How are you there? Good. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. Yeah, I have you're supposed to have a guest on if he's able to get through. I do have a question for him.
Okay. Well, hold that. Right. Okay. Well, hold that question. What else?
Okay. And so, are we going to discuss the stimulus package and?
We'll wait on that. What I want to discuss. Not yet. What I want to do is discuss that. I don't know if you hear this about this 11-year-old boy that apparently he is going to prison, is going to be, you know, sentenced just like an adult. So I don't know if you guys, you know, all the listeners here, here's what happened. Okay. A boy actually shot his dad's fiance right at the back of her head, you know. And now he's caught and everything. Just to make a long story short, he's caught. And now the in the jury and all that, the judge is trying to prosecute him as an adult. Now he is, now, you know, there's a lot of talk and says, no, how could you put him into the, you know, an adult-like prisons? You know, he's an 11-year-old boy. You know, he's, you know, it's too dangerous for him. Now, and it seems like the media is kind of had a little turn this thing around that he is being the, you know, what do you call it, victim here, because, you know, a lot of people are feeling bad for him. You know, oh, he's going to get, you know, might something happen to him, and a lot of stuff. So here's a question for you. I know that he's already going to be facing up to, I don't know, so many years in prison, and then they're trying to work things out where, you know, he doesn't have to be with the adults, with the prisoners and all that. So what's your take on that, Dawn?
Well, I kind of agree with, well, a quick thought went through my mind, but that's actually not a good idea. But, yeah, I agree with that, like, that he shouldn't be put with the adults. He should be tried as an adult. However, he should be put in a juvenile detention center until he becomes old enough, like 18, and then he should be transferred over there. That's what I think.
That makes sense.
I think they do that, like, in children's case like that. You know, that's a common thing. Like, well, not that common that kids, like, kill people, but like, it's a, when that does happen, I've heard of that happening, you know, where they put them in a juvenile detention center, and, you know, then they're not with adults right away. And so yeah, and kind of get them used to it, you know, get them used to prison.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like,
well,
some
what
countries
do you
say, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, you're talking, go ahead.
Some countries, they would decide to have, like, death penalty, and then he wouldn't have to worry about where he's going to prison. They would kill them, like, right away, you know, like, life for life, you know. But our country, a death sentence is unfortunately not carried out right away, you know. It usually takes 25 years on death row, so, you know, that wouldn't target the problem, you know, right now, if that's the, you know. So I'm just going to say that in some countries they would kill him right away, you know, if he's found guilty, which he was, and so. But,
well, there's already, you know, I think the lawyer of the 11-year-old boy actually filed a, you know, kind of emergency bailout so he can somewhat, I guess, you know, that so he doesn't have to go to jail, so there'll be a trial and so, an 11-year-old, I mean, it's, you know, he's got a, I mean, it is a heinous crime. You know, I mean, there is no reason for it to for the, like, the juries and the, you know, like, judges and the judge to, you know, sympathize. I know he's a kid, 11-year-old kid, but, you know, he committed a crime, you know, and he needs to be punished. So, I think they would have to decide what they can do, you know, putting aside the politics, you know, putting aside the differences, and, you know, get this, you know, show the people, show the world, you know, and show the victims' relatives, you know, that the sentence can be, you know, I just want him to go, you know, to be punished in some way, not to be like put on a pedestal like as a victim.
Yeah,
you know,
because he's only like 11, you know, that he should be considered a victim. Sorry if I interrupted.
Oh, that's all right. It's you know, I mean, he's not the victim. Tell me that.
No. From what he premeditated it.
Right, and then he said that, you know, the gun was a Christmas gift from the dad, you know. I mean, why would you want to give your kid, you know, gun I know that hunting is taking, you know, taking your kids to hunt, to fish, to, you know, it's a father and a, you know, son bonding or whatnot. But why would you want to give your kids guns? You know, I'm in for guns. I'm to protect. You know, I believe that you should own a gun if you want to protect yourself. But giving to an 11-year-old, you know, it's just got to be. Now the father is that, you know, he's got to be held responsible somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
I agree that he should be, because and while you're talking about that, I was just thinking that, like, I mean, I can't say it, we'll never give our kids a gun, you know, but I don't think we would. But, you know, things can change and times could change where they need to know how to shoot. However, if he thought that his son was responsible enough to have a gun,
mm-hmm.
then that must mean that his son was starting to go through puberty, because why I bring up puberty is, like, I don't know how it is for guys, but maybe you can put your input because you're a guy, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I know for girls, at least, what? What'd you say?
I said last time I checked, I'm pretty sure I'm a guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So like, girls, they have a lot of hormonal up and downs, and they struggle a lot during adolescence, and you know, things come into their mind that, you know, without God in their lives, they definitely would, you know, I mean, even when you have Jesus Christ in your life, I've experienced, like, you know,
What is that? Oh, man.
You know, I mean, I've had, you know, things that I've had a really, like, you know, that I've been tempted with, and everybody's tempted with, you know, things. And like, my point is that if he's going through puberty, and like I said, we'll need your input because you're a guy. But yeah, I mean, he's probably got things, like, going through his mind. Like, maybe he wants his dad to get back with his mother, if she's still alive, because I guess this was his dad's girlfriend. And so he probably, like, had some anger issues, you know. And then,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of kids, whether they're going through puberty or not, like, have those anger issues. Most of the time I hear about, like, you know, teenagers or people going through puberty that have those issues when their parents are separated or divorced, you know, and they,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they want their parents to get back together, they have confusing feelings, and maybe he just really thought that maybe he was just really angry and took it out on the woman, you know, on the girlfriend. And so what's your input on puberty? Do guys go through that? Like, do they go through, like, a hormonal up and downs?
Well, it's not to the point that you want to kill someone.
I think
that's, yeah, well, that's the only thing. I mean, an 11-year-old boy, I think there's jealousy in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rage, anger, and, you know, and I believe there, you know, this kid's godless. You know, he's
right.
Never thought, you know, maybe the parents never shown him the love,
mm-hmm.
or shown, like, the kind of, you know, the love of Christ, or the, you know,
right.
the love, you know, not to what do you call it, not to keep that anger within you, because that's
right.
bad, you know, and it's just my thought. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't really know what's going on and or what went
yeah.
down and why did he. Why he shot that, you know, the victim, but
yeah.
but
so
the
go ahead.
The warden, this is the whole thing here. The jail warden said that you know, they will ask the judge to move the boy to a juvenile detention.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you were saying earlier, that, yeah, moving to the juvenile detention. Okay, I'm for that. Okay, I totally agree with it. Let's move that kid to a juvenile detention, and when he's 18, then we can, you know, don't put him in a trial again, but, you know, sentence
right.
him now. And then, I mean, that's like, well, that's like a double murder, because the lady was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lady
yep.
was pregnant, and the fetus or the baby died because of lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's he would be sentenced for that. So that's That's
and she was 8 months pregnant, right?
Yeah, 8 months pregnant. That's like, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Too.
And this is what I get. You know, so he, you know, he had time to call to kill the girl, the lady, and he had time to, you know, hop on the bus to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously the cops apprehended him at school, and you know, they're trying trying to figure out who did it. And there was some confusion that there was people who were saying, oh, there's a black vehicle on the street that was that, you know, before or during that or between that time. So the detectives and the cops are trying looking for, you know, the possible suspects and everything. But
yeah,
they found out that the gun was actually used, and he had time to put the gun back to the you know, to his house. I mean, to his room. So I don't know where's the dad, but you know, I'm, you know, he's got to be pretty, you know, torn apart or torn about this.
Yeah.
So
yep, not only, I mean, yeah, definitely. Even if the dad's not punished, he probably will be punished for a long time mentally, you know. Like
right.
struggling of how, you know, his son, where did he go wrong, you know, and why did he buy his son a gun and all that kind of thing. You know, he's probably
tormented.
I mean, the boy seems like he's not really repentant. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he is now. I mean, I really haven't read that article of him saying that he's sorry, but I mean, he premeditated it. So I mean, like I was gonna say, like, you know, there's a lot of gangbangers out there that kill people when they're 13 years old. That's what I was wanting to say. Really, when you said about you don't think really guys go through like where they want to murder people, because gangbangers, like, they, you know, part of their, a lot of gangs out there. I mean, I don't know
because
how many gangs are,
yeah,
but it's like initiation. It's killing
about
somebody.
Like server, yeah, like. And like city kids, you know, like they get into this, you know, a gang mentality that, you know, this is the only way to live, and they don't look out, they don't really look what's out there, or they get this, you know, some kind of, I don't know, this pressure from, you know, their friends and you know, and they get into the, to that point that where, you know, I mean, I've known, like, teenagers that have done, you know, stupid things. But, you know, again, it's the influence of friends and society, you know. That's
right.
We'll take on that. It's, and they think that's the only way they can, that is the only way to live. And that's the only way that, you know, they can progress in life. It's,
There's a lot of,
Yeah, with that, I think I want to jump into a next topic.
Okay.
So we are going to,
I said, okay.
All right. And, so that's, what's your final thought on that one?
My final thought on that is just that, I mean, like, there's probably a lot of, like, I'm just curious what kind of, like, you know, was he on antidepressant? Was he, you know, did he play, like, grand larceny and theft or whatever that game is called? You know, I mean, there's, like, a lot of, but, you know, that's, like, regardless, he really, you know, and maybe his dad did, like you said, we don't know if his dad took him to church or not. Sometimes kids rebel, but yeah, I mean, I've even heard of a story where a six-year-old killed somebody, you know, and it's just like some six-year-olds are really mean, you know, and so.
That falls into the parents or a guardian that are raising the kid.
Right, and his dad bought him a gun, so, you
mm-hmm.
know. Yep, his dad's going to be suffering one way or another, I think, you know. So, but go ahead. That was my final thoughts. Thanks for listening.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. So, let's take a little break, and what I want to do is play this music here. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Jumped on my reply. I'd rather hurt you honestly than say you will.
Hello there again. This is Great Inferno. We are back. It's almost a half show, and we're back here. And we've been talking about the. Don, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, you're there. Okay. So we were talking about that 11-year-old boy, and you know, like I said, that's you know, it's kind of a how the media turned this around to. You know, we're the little boy's a victim, and, you know, they're not really paying attention to what happened here. Now, I believe what I have here on the other line would be Carrie. Carrie Weston, are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hopefully, did you have a hard time calling in?
A little bit, but we got through. We persevered.
So what's the weather over there in Maine?
Just short of chilly, man. It's I'm looking at 3 or 4 feet of snow in the driveway after snow blowing, and it's probably about 24 degrees at the moment, but that's life in the Northeast.
I hear you. What, you know, I kind of introduced you earlier, as in, you know, I visited your website. You know, it's, you know, breezed through that, and I kind of read your bio, so... to the listeners, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, man?
Sure. I'm a partner in a marketing communications firm here in Maine. We're in Bangor, actually, just about the center of the state.
Yep.
Never lived anywhere else but Maine. I've got a little 5-year-old. We've got a business about 8 years old. We've got 9 employees. We specialize in helping businesses take advantage of their marketing position with branding and communication. We use a lot of social media. We get up on the web. We do some video. A very cool thing happened this past week. We got involved almost by accident, but things happen for a reason, with our second client here in Maine, who was going to be going on to a reality TV show. So we're handling the public relations for that.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
Yeah, a show called American Loggers. It's going to be on Discovery Channel. It's kind of like the Ice Road Truckers, Axemen,
yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. That you're talking about the, what do you call it, what's the name again?
It's called American Loggers. It previews Friday on Discovery.
On Discovery. I'm going to tune that in. I'm pretty, a fan of Discovery Channel, travel channels and all that. So that's got to be quite a show. Now the location is going to be over in Maine?
Yeah, it's up in, it's about 2 hours north of us. It's deep into the woods. They log other people's trees, if you will, to different locations, and they do some pretty dangerous stuff. It's just everyday work for them, but when you see it kind of shrunk down to 60-minute shows, it's pretty exciting stuff for the average person.
So what do you think what do you think of the tree huggers think about that?
actually, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of environmentalists up here. And there's an awful lot of compassion for them. There's an awful lot of environmental standards that everyone has to go through. So,
really?
Yeah, they're pretty. They work together. That's pretty harmonious. They've got to keep the trees going in order to keep your business going. So there's a lot of forestry practices that get taken care of in a responsible way.
Okay. Well, let's have a couple questions here to ask you. You know, get about. We'll talk about you. And this is your spotlight, man.
Yeah.
So,
a little bright.
You mentioned about marketing, and I know that. Let me ask you this first. How long have you been with the company with Sutherland Marketing?
Yeah, I started the company 8 years ago, in the back bedroom in my house. I had a goal to start a company before I was 30, but I had no idea what that company was supposed to be. I just knew I was going to do it. So.
Right. Exactly. So it is, with the marketing effort that you guys are doing, you know, there's a lot of, like, websites and marketing. Is that off and online also? You do, besides websites, and sites, SEO and all social media, you guys do, printing and stuff like that?
Yeah, we do all aspects of design, strategy, and branding. We don't actually do the printing or whatnot. We, you know, obviously farm that out, but...
Oh, you just farm it. Oh, gotcha.
Anything that a business would need to communicate to a customer using what we would call traditional methods like brochures and whatnot, up to more conventional media like websites, up to new media using Twitter, Facebook, and connecting all of them, basically to build the brand and get customers.
Exactly. Now, there's a lot of talks about, the Twitter, social media, and all that, search engine optimizations, SEO, could you touch up on that? How does that really work, and why is that important to the business owners?
Yeah, it's very important. It's very important. What technology has enabled us to do with the likes of Google, the world's largest search engine now, but you've got Yahoo. That's a
chocolate thing.
You've got Yahoo, MSN, and then you've got Facebook. You've got Twitter. Basically, what these allow you to do is evolve what used to be basically a static website presence, basically electronic brochure. We've been able to evolve our website presence into two-way communications with the customers. So a couple benefits there. One, SEO, or search engine optimization, as you were talking about it, is the way to get your site found by the customers that you're searching for. So it's basically become a high-tech yellow page operation where you've put a lot of time and money into your website. Search engines is the window for the world to see that website. So paying attention to what the world is looking for and being found when they do type in phrases that matter to your business is very important. Second, Twitter and Facebook and, these other social media outlets are a fantastic way to engage your customer in a two-way conversation, to not only push information out to them, but to evolve that relationship to get instant feedback. Blogs are another great way. Now have the ability to, almost in real time, and essentially if you have the resources in real time, to engage your customers to enhance that relationship. And in economic times like this, taking advantage of the relationships that you have with the customer to extend services, build loyalty is very important.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm into social media and internet marketing myself, and that's so true. Now, you know, we talked about social media, and you know, running through like business owners and or you know just regular persons alike, and you know when they hear something about social media, and they, what is it? You know, like, could you like maybe elaborate on that? What is actually social media?
Yeah, social media is nothing more complex than the ability to communicate and converse with folks who basically aren't in front of you. They could be in a virtual world. They could be in Wisconsin, right? I could be in Maine. You could be in Wisconsin. And social media is basically just the industry term for the software or program that allows you and I to communicate when we feel like it. Take Twitter, for example. There's some excellent opportunities for Twitter. In fact, you and I connected on Twitter.
Yeah.
Convert back and forth, you know, in short bursts of information to find folks with similar interests or exchange ideas or just simply have a conversation. It's no different, quite honestly. It's no different than joining your chamber of commerce and going to social activities there. You know, you get to put yourself in position to communicate with other professionals for the opportunity to network and learn about other people's businesses.
That sounds good. Now, I know I was reading some of your biography about you know your what you've done in the past and all that, I know I read something about that. You took a trophy for one of your attempts. You did a stand-up comedy, a comedian, where you used to be a comedian.
Yeah, one of the one of our passions at our company is making sure that we use our resources that we have internally for the better of our community. And there is a program here in our region. It's called the Bangor Region Leadership Institute, and it basically is a program that allows folks to take annual classes. They take one class at a time of about 20 folks and go throughout the year. And they put together monthly events that allows them to learn and communicate with business leaders, community leaders, to get integrated into the network so they can learn how our region works, which is a fantastic way to build your network, get involved in the community, and you know, meet people you normally wouldn't. To support that effort, they have an annual comedy contest where they have, I think they call it the region's funniest professional. And what they do is they have typically 8 to 12 people who are not comedians put their name in to compete on stage. You get about an 8 to 10 minute window, and you literally are in front of 400 people doing a stand-up routine.
Wow.
I've always been interested in it. I've always respected stand-up comedians. I've always admired folks that could capture a crowd and work a crowd. You know, I used to think without fear, but the more people I meet that do it, I realize it's very scary every time they go out. You're only basically one joke away from failing, no matter how funny you were the joke before. So I spent some time. I put a routine together. I crafted it as best I could and went out and took home the trophy. I took home the trophy for my time. So I'm a pretty competitive person, so I didn't want to fail.
All right, Dave. Now I know Dawn, you have you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I know that you said you have questions. Go ahead.
Okay. In the beginning, you said that Carrie, right?
Yeah.
That's his name, Carrie. That he has like a business. He went to business school.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was just curious, like, if you ever heard of like Market America or the Unfranchised Business Plan.
Yes, I have actually.
Have you ever been to their like trainings?
Yes. As a matter of fact,
okay.
I have.
Are you a part, like, are you an owner of one of those on-franchise businesses?
A distributor?
Yeah.
Yes, actually I am. I took a look at it about 6 months ago and decided to explore the products a little bit before doing so, and thought I liked what I saw, and the more information I get for the updates, especially on the e-commerce side, what they're doing there with Google is literally amazing, and
yeah.
I certainly want to be a part of it, sure.
Okay, because I was curious because I'm also, like, part owner, like, well, part owner with my husband of an unfranchised business. So we're also independent distributors of Mark America. And I was, what I wanted to know is because I've met several people that have said that they want to go to business school. And from my understanding, Market America offers all the tools that we need, and they have a Market America University, and they show you how to run a business with low overhead cost. And and I was just wondering, since you had a degree from business school, what's the comparison versus, like, do you think that people would be better off just purchasing their own unfranchised business rather than spending thousands of dollars going to business school? Or so that's what my question was. I was like, interested.
Sure. If you don't mind, I think I'll separate it from the Market America conversation and just talk about starting a business versus business school in general. I can't relate. I haven't looked at the materials that the Market America University you speak of offers. But in general, I do get asked quite a bit. In fact, I was interviewed by a business student about a month ago for a case study whether or not business school actually prepared me to do what I'm doing now, and I don't think his professor was happy with my answer because I told him no. One of the things that I find is there's a large disconnect between public school, academia in general, and what we refer to as the real world. And the more students I speak to, the more I realize that disconnect happens in the classroom more and more. Students that I go to talk to professors bring me in to talk about the real world and to explain what the opportunities are in the real world. And the more conversations I have with students, even seniors in universities, I realize that the fears that they have are very basic. In fact, I stopped one talk. I was talking about business plan and employees and, you know, the nature of business. And I was getting a lot of blank stares. And I stopped and asked them, you know, what are the real questions that they have for me? And after a little probing, come to find out that the majority of people in the room were far more interested in life fears than business fears. And what I mean by that is the questions I were getting were, how do I find a job? What if I get fired? What if I can't pay my rent? How do I meet people? Basic human skills, in this instance, were the fears that people were showcasing. And one of the things that business school does is it does show you the basics of business principles, you know, and I'm very proud and glad that I went through that because the training I got in basic principles did teach me some starter tips to understanding what I'm looking at in business and, you know, what a balance sheet is and how taxes work and that kind of thing. But the best piece of advice I've ever received, I received in the soda cooler of a pizza place that I used to work for in college. I worked in a pizza joint for 4 years for a gentleman named Gabby Price, who was a football coach and more of a life coach to anyone that ever met him. And we had a soda cooler that we used to have to stock from the inside. So if you've ever been into one of these places, you'd go behind it and stock it. And we used to have what's called soda cooler talks or cooler talks. And Gabby told me once, this is the line I'll ever forget. Gabby told me once when I was fearful of starting my own business or what I'm going to do in life. And he said, listen, and he's very successful. He has a couple of his own businesses and owns apartments and real estate. And he said, if you can master two things in life, you will be successful in business regardless of what professional training you have. And those two things are, as he described it, kindergarten principles and third grade math. If you can master third grade math, and kindergarten principles, as he defined it, treat others as they would treat you or you would have them treat you, the rest of it will come together. So regardless of how much business training you have or don't have, if you can master kindergarten principles and third grade math and have a desire to succeed, you'll do so.
Okay. And do you stay home then with your kid or do you work in an office or is your office out of your home or?
No, I did start in my home. That's a great question. I started in my home. My office was in my back bedroom, spare bedroom, and I made the decision to get an office about a year into that outside of the home because as enticing as it is to work from your home, you're also trapped because you're never more than one room away from your work. And so I now have an office downtown. We have a studio. We have 9 employees, Okay. And we do filming there. We do video production there. So we have a pretty large office that I'm pretty proud of. We have a good staff. But I did start in my house. The first year was in my house, and I made a mental decision basically due to life balance issues. It was tough to escape because if you have passion for something, you want to keep doing it. But I needed to physically divide my work from my home, and that's what drove that decision.
Okay.
So now, what's any listeners out there that can go to your website and check you out? What's your website now?
Yeah, the easiest address to get to it is brandingresults.com, brandingresults.com.
Brandingresult.com. Okay. Now, I know that what I want to do is right now is talk about these new segments here
sure.
that's coming up. I know we talked about in the past about the stimulus package, and this is what we'll take on. President Barack Obama, he said that his administration requiring quote unquote unprecedented responsibility and accountability, and as a government, it's implementing $707 billion, economic stimulus package. Well, this enacted last week or this week. So the American people, they're watching and see what's going on in here. And, recently they had Barack Obama, President Barack Obama had a conference with this U.S. conference, U.S. mayors in the White House. And, they said that everyone is pretty upset about, that's how they're going to handle this. Here's the real question, though, on that, because I know there's a lot of, confusion and miscommunication on that. And we all know that's got to be something that's got to be a crooked politician is going to surface, all in the top if they don't pay attention on this. I mean, how are they going to ensure the money will be, well spent, and how should politicians handle this? What's your take on that?
you threw a lot of questions in one sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the real question is how are we going to ensure that money is well spent?
Well, well spent is such a term that can be defined many different ways. I think that what's important, whether you agree or disagree, and I happen to disagree the majority of what went through, and the more I learn, the more I disagree with. And it's amazing to me how so much money and so many pages can be passed with so little attention.
Mind-boggling.
What's important, I think, are the controls that are put into the money as it goes through. And to be honest with you, I think you could ask the common person or you could ask someone that literally spends their life in D.C. and you wouldn't find somebody that actually knows what's in this thing yet. It's boggling. But the real controls are every dollar that gets passed from the federal to the state budgets has to be earmarked for a specific purpose, and there are ways of measuring that. There is accountability.
Okay.
I host a segment here in town with our chair of our appropriations committee for the state legislature on a weekly basis, and appropriations is the committee in our state legislature that is responsible for deciding where the money goes, basically, as simply
right.
as that. And even they don't know what the stipulations are for the money coming
yeah.
this way. So the person who will be deciding where the money goes doesn't know what the stipulations are. I don't know who better to, to know what's going on. And if they don't know, then I'm a little scared. The real concern for me are the vagueness, the vague bills that are in there, the ones that are federal to federal money, not federal to state.
Okay.
And as I hear tonight driving to call you, people are delving into multiple levels of this bill. And they're finding things out, like a lot of the construction money that was set aside in the stimulus package. There
right.
are actually sentences in the stimulus plan that dictates that in order for a construction firm to qualify for any contracts for federal money in the stimulus plan, that they have to be unionized. They cannot be ununionized labor. So
seriously.
Yeah, there are things like this. The majority of money that will be going down are so designated to specific causes, and this thing is so full of special interests that even though we all think that there might be positive turns for the economy in this bill, there are so many stipulations that I honestly don't know what's going to happen, how to account for it, and we can only hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's I'm reading articles after articles about the stimulus package and how they can implement it. Mayors kind of blaming or, complaining about the governors and back and forth and all that stuff. That's the only thing that bugs me here is, like, why does the left see this as a victory over Republicans? Can you explain that? Why do they say, oh, yeah, Barack Obama beat the Republicans? Isn't that just a bipartisan decision?
The only time bipartisan comes into play is when was one party needs help from the other. Other than that, it's pretty much a one-party system in the eyes of the majority.
I agree. Yeah.
And so, you know, seeing it as a victory over a party is a pretty limited way of looking at it. And I agree. I hear that quite a bit. And being active here in Maine, and my other hat, I guess, if you will, that we haven't discussed, but my other hat is I chair the Republican Party committee for the second largest city in our state. And it's interesting to me how it becomes red versus blue, you know, left versus right, rather than what is right for everybody in general. And there's an awful lot of good and an awful lot of bad that takes place at levels of government that impact our everyday life that are made on decisions purely for emotional reasons. And it's sad for me to see it become petty like that, rather than when we're playing with money this large, you know, this is a big, big check, and we're playing with money of this size. You'd think it'd come down to what's good for all of us rather than how can we put a feather in our cap and defeat one party or the other. And so the long answer is that. The short answer is it's sad for me, and I you know, it's certainly not effective.
Hmm. Yeah. What's your take on this, Dawn? What say you?
It's just that I don't really think, I mean, well, there may be a possibility of it creating more jobs, you know, but I don't know how long-term those jobs are. I heard something about, like, Go Green, they're going to build facilities, you know. It's undercover for, like, to prevent against global warming. And I don't really agree with global warming, but I guess what they're saying is that they're going to build more facilities and they're going to be creating more jobs that way. But there's some things I don't really agree with, that they're going to create more jobs for abortionists and things like that. I don't know if that passed, but I know it up to, like, about a week ago or something, that was, like, on the table. That's just, like as far as, like, people getting money, I used to think, you know, that with there's, like, a possibility that, you know, like, people that work at hotels, that they'll get more hours and that can stimulate the economy. But living in a tourist town, I've noticed that that's not always the case, because they tend to, the places when they have, like, more people coming in, they don't always give people more hours unless it's a consistency in there. And so that's just, like, you know, I don't know. There's, like, small possibility that it will create more hours for the people in general, but I think that it's just going to take, like, I guess what they would say, a ripple effect, because the jobs they're creating for, like, the global warming or something like that, you know, people will have to go to school probably for 4 years to get that job, and then, well, that job, you know. So I don't really think it will take effect, like, right away, if anything.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Now, let's move on to, you know, we're going to try to squeeze all these topics over here. We have 10 minutes to go. now, this recent article I read about the U.S. official says that they're giving $900 million to Gaza reconstruction because of the, you know, the war that recently had with Israel and all them. Again, what's your take on this, Carrie? Are we gonna let Israel, bomb them or whatever, and then it's gonna cost us? You know, we're giving money to them. Isn't that like they're gonna repile their weapons and attack Israel again? Isn't that what they're gonna do?
Yeah, that's a pretty touchy issue. You know, Israel's always been a world ally for us, and it's been our one voice of what most would say reason in the Middle East. And you know, rebuilding in the Gaza Strip is certainly a controversial issue, and I'm not sure where I stand on it, because I'm not quite sure why we're on either side other than to support a world ally. I'm not quite up to speed as to every conversation that takes place on that matter. So, you know, we certainly have plenty of world allies. We have certainly plenty of causes that we dole money out to. I think it's important, though, as we go forward, especially as our economy is crumbling, that we pay attention to what's home. You know, we pay attention to our own people, our own borders, before we start doling out funds across the world. And
Exactly.
You know, we can get in trouble quite easily if we're borrowing money as it is to take care of our own. I'm sure we're borrowing money to take care of others as well.
The question is, who's going to pay for that $900 million, you know, dollars we're going to
supposedly... It's coming from China, man. It's all coming from China.
Here you go. Let's borrow some from China.
Thanks.
Well, the thing is what I don't get is, this is an ongoing thing. You know, it's the Hamas and all that, they'll find some money somehow to, you know, to rebuild their cash or, you know, weaponry and everything like that. I mean, how are we going to ensure that $900 million is going to be reconstructing the Gaza Strip, not going to the crooked politicians down there and just, you know, spreading up thinly throughout the, you know, the Hamas or to Hezbollah and everything like that? What's your take on that, Don?
I'm thankful that you, thanks for asking me. I had a comment on that, is that send soldiers to rebuild. U.S. soldiers that have sworn to protect our country.
I don't know about that. I don't think they're going to Gaza.
I think that, like, they if Gaza wants it, or I don't even know, like, whoever wants it rebuilt, well, instead of sending the money there, send the materials. I mean, just like for instance, like, if somebody, you know, like...
That's crazy.
I don't know where Carrie's from, but, like, in Illinois, you know, like, you go to Illinois, people, like, outside McDonald's want money, like, and then so what I like what Laura showed me is, like, if I have extra food that hasn't been opened, you know, like have a bag of chips in there or in the van or whatever,
that's different.
Loaf of bread, you know. No, I think it's the same concept actually, because like the person's like, I'm hungry, I want some food. Okay, here's some food. I don't want that food.
Okay.
I want
so
McDonald's.
That's...
You know.
Right.
Like,
so make
you
sure. Yeah, you're giving them. Yeah, I got you. I got you where you're going through with this. Again, I mean, that's just, I don't think, like, the carries is, you know, that, I don't, you know, let's give them the $900 million to them, and let's UN decide, you know, get some, implement some system to like, just, you know, keep an eye on this money, where this money going from, or going
to,
you know.
So-called names for construction. I don't really think it's $900 million. I mean,
it's an ongoing thing.
They get paid way less than we do, don't they? I mean, why are they going to need $900 million? I mean, how big is Gaza Strip?
Well, I guess
are they going to be building buildings or what?
Right.
I
think it's roads, you know, bridges and stuff like that. That's what they're doing. I don't mind that. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't mind that, you know, giving them, you know, let's give them money. But I'm just saying that's just like with the stimulus package, you know. $787 billion, that's like mind-boggling. I can't even get my mind around that. You know,
yeah.
And with those, if they don't pay attention, it's going to collapse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And do you agree, Carrie?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's already collapsed once. I mean, we don't have, the basis of this whole thing is that government can't fix itself. Government has to get out of the way for it to fix itself. And, you know, the only way we're actually going to be corrected is if we let the people in the free market decide. And whether it's a stimulus package or handing out the mortgage package or bailing out car industries, what we're really doing is rewarding people or bailing people out for irresponsible decisions. And
exactly.
And those that play by the rules and pay their bills are the ones that suffer. That's a backward system, if you ask me. And I would ask anyone out there that struggles each and every month to make ends meet and pay their bills and don't ask for a handout, where's the incentive to keep doing that if those that don't and live beyond their means are just getting bailed out by the new administration? I think it's backwards. I think it's unequal, and I think it's going to, do far more harm than good.
Yeah. All right. The next slide is over here. I want to talk about the today. You know, I never noticed this Fat Tuesday. You know, I mean, just looking up in this, what's Fat Tuesday? And actually, watching this, I've written an article about that. In what they do that, like in Brazil. You know, what they do that Mardi Gras and everything like that. And there was actually some accident or incident that happened, that a couple of people have died, and, you know, I guess there's some guy that shoots someone and this kid's dead and everything. But regardless, that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the free pancake and IHOP, Don. Free pancake.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what's going on till Carrie. Do you have IHOP out there?
We have IHOP. I think the nearest IHOP has got to be a couple hours away, a couple hours south.
Wow.
2 hours away, but, well, have you ever heard anything about, like, free pancakes or free food or something like that for Fat Tuesday?
I think I missed that one. I think I missed that headline.
okay. That's a yeah. It's a Fat Tuesday. No wonder they call it Fat Tuesday because they want people to get fat. That's a joke, actually. I'm gonna do my stand-up comedy here. But so now, what's your take on this? What do you think? You know, the big companies like IHOP's trying to capitalize with this Fat Tuesday thing.
Do you even know the history of Fat Tuesday? Why they have?
Oh, go right ahead. You got about 1 minute.
Okay. The free pancakes came from because like, centuries ago they needed to use before Lent. They needed to use up all their eggs and milk, so they just started offering like people pancakes. They would make pancakes, and that's where it started. IHOP, I think we're planning going there later with the kids. They are actually like the free pancakes. They're plain pancakes, but they say if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to donate something, they're trying to raise $1 million for the Children's Memorial Hospital or something like that.
That's what it costs. That's right.
Yep, and then but you can buy other food or you don't have to. It's up to you. But yeah, so and then I just had like one comment on the Israel, like I do, like whatever, like Israel needs to support, you know, I support Israel. So, but those were like, you know, what I have to say about Fat Tuesday and IHOP. So yeah, that'd be nice. It will save us money because when we go to IHOP, we usually spend like $70 or $80.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, we
got a lot of kids.
I know, we got five. kids. You know, it gets expensive going to a restaurant. You know, even fast food is. Cheaper to eat at
all home. Right. So real quick, final thought on everything, Carrie. What's your final thought?
My final thought is there's too much snow in Maine. Too damn cold. Too much money going to people who don't deserve it, and I'm working too hard to make ends meet. So that's my final thought. But you know what? I wouldn't want to live in any other country in the world, and I'm proud to be where I'm at, and it's only going to get better if the people rise up and use their voices to make things happen, man.
Exactly. Bless you, man. Now, go ahead, Don. What's your final thought?
I was just going to, so I kind of like, you know, agree with that, you know, if people stick together and they keep working hard, create like unfranchised business, look for unfranchised business. And Stealth Radar Shield. I was thinking about that earlier. If you guys using a cell phone and you don't have Bluetooth, you definitely need to go to shoppingsuperhighway.com and look up Stealth Radar Shield, STEALTH, because, you know, really even though, like, lobbyists say get people to say that there's nothing harmful from cell phones, there are radiation coming off. So thank you for your time, Dana.
Just right about time. Hey, Carrie Weston, thanks for your thanks for stopping by. We'll do it again.
Hey, thanks for me.
And catch me up later on this, this weekend. Go to blocktalkradio.com/GreatInferno. Talk to you later.
All right.